In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, in business, and in a lot of areas in life, really, every once in a while you're supposed to stop and ask the question, what is the point of all of this? Because sometimes there's a problem, and you find a way to address the problem, like form a committee, and that committee solves the problem, but then the committee continues to meet on a monthly basis because, well, they've always met on a monthly basis. So asking the question, what is the point of this, redirects the focus to make sure that we're actually stated a goal in mind and our work is focused towards that goal. Well, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is stopping to ask the question, what's the point with the Pharisees? And the topic at hand is the law. Because the Pharisees, over time, have developed a completely different purpose for the law than what the law was given to do. The point of the law is not what the Pharisees think it is. It all happened when Jesus and the disciples were walking along on the Sabbath day, and they began to pick grain from the grain field along the way. Now, this happened as the Pharisees looked on and claimed that the disciples were breaking the Sabbath. One thing to note about this is that the law actually made provision for the edges of the field to be reserved for travelers. So it wasn't that the disciples were stealing from anyone's field, that they were making use of a provision in the law to do exactly this. But it's when the disciples were doing this that the Pharisees took issue. And this revealed how the Pharisees viewed the purpose of the law. The Pharisees saw the law as a tool or as a mechanism for which they could use to justify themselves. So when the law says, you shall not murder, they'd say, look at me, I'm such a good Pharisee, I haven't murdered anyone. Or when the law said, you shall not commit adultery, they'd say, I'm a fantastic Pharisee because I haven't committed adultery. It's later on that Jesus teaches us that if you've even hated your brother, then you've murdered him in your heart. Or if you've even lusted, then you've committed adultery in your heart. So that Jesus will later come along and show us what the real purpose of the law is. Is it not that it shows us how good we are, but rather the exact opposite. It shows us how sinful we are. Now, you'll have to excuse me for stating the obvious, but the reason the law shows us how sinful we are is because we are sinners. Now, I know that is profound, but there's actually a point in there somewhere. You see, it isn't that we are righteous beings, just walking along the way of purity and imperfection, and then at some point along the way, we make a digression from the law, and in some violation of the code, then and only then are we deemed sinners because we've broken the command. It's actually the other way around. To say that we're sinners is to say something about the condition into which we are born. That we are born as children of Adam and Eve, and we inherit from them a sinful flesh. And this sinful flesh is sinful through and through without any redeeming qualities whatsoever. So naturally, that when a sinner rubs up against one of the laws of God, it's going to shine with true light who we actually are according to our flesh. But it isn't as if God gives us his laws just willy-nilly to damper our fun. God has given us laws to protect the gifts that he gives us. This is part of what Jesus is teaching us in the gospel lesson for today. So, for example, the reason God gives us the sixth commandment, you should not commit adultery, is to protect God's good gift of marriage. And the reason God gives us the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, is to protect God's good gift of life. And we could just go down the line with all the commandments. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal, is to protect God's gift of material possession. The eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness, is to protect God's good gift of a good reputation. And the fourth commandment, to protect God's good gift of authority. So you see, God gives us the commandments to protect the gifts that he gives us. It's just that sinners can't help but finding themselves afoul of these laws. And as Christians, the new man in us delights to live in accordance with these commands, but our flesh is weak and fails to do so perfectly. But here's the question before us and the question that Jesus is bringing to our attention today. For what purpose did God give us the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? The way that the Pharisees took it is, if I want to be holy, then I need to fulfill the law. If I only not work, then I'll be holy. If only I resist the urge to work, then I will have fulfilled the law and thus be holy. And in doing so, the Pharisees made a law, don't work, and made it a work. Now, I hardly have to mention this, because I know if it's true of myself, it is also true for you. But the way the Pharisees took the law looks eerily like the way we take the law. That the law is there to find out just how righteous I am. That we use the law to find therein our justification. So we want to take God's law and say, see, I'm in the right. We take God's law and we say, I am doing everything God wants me to do. He must be very pleased with me. But in order to do that, we have to completely ignore our selfish ambitions, our underlying motives, our sinful thoughts, our yearning for recognition. But yeah, despite all of that, we're just completely righteous. Repent. Even as regenerated Christians, we still live in a flesh that fails to live in perfection to the law. But the law is not our righteousness. Yeah. It's not that becoming a Christian empowers us to achieve righteousness by the law. Romans tells us very explicitly that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That we are righteous not by the law at all, but by Christ himself. That God in human flesh, perfectly by the law, is our righteousness. That he in perfect submission to the law lived in every way, and he is the atoning sacrifice. That he accomplished the law, and he gives it to you as gift. It's not by working or by earning, it's by believing and receiving. That you would be the object of his service, and that is how it is you are righteous. It's kind of like when you have guests for dinner, and the guests ask something like, is there anything I can do to help? And even if there is something, you probably wouldn't say something like, yeah, you make dinner and I'll just go watch TV. You probably would say something like, no, 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 sit down and dinner will be ready in a moment. And why is that? Because you don't want your guests to do all the work. You want them to relax and to be served by you. And that is exactly how it is with our Lord, that he serves you. As much as we talk about this church, this congregation of ours, it is a sober reminder to say that it is not our church. It is the Lord's church. And this is the Lord's house. And he has us as his guests. We don't have him as ours. And when it comes to our righteousness, forgiveness, and eternal life, the Lord serves us here. He gives you his holy word. He gives you the gift of baptism. He gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink. And in these gifts, he imparts to us the gift of faith, which clings to his righteousness, to his forgiveness that Christ won on the cross for us nearly 2,000 years ago. It certainly isn't by our work. It's by the work that God has bestowed to you. This is what the third commandment is all about. It wasn't about the work of not working. It's about receiving. It's about being an honored guest and sitting down at the table so that Christ would deliver to us the very gifts that we need. He said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not something to be fulfilled by man, but it was something given for the benefit of man. And as we discussed before, the law protects the gifts of God, and the gift that God gives us is rest. That's what Sabbath means, rest. And the Lord gives us his rest by giving us Jesus. Jesus is our rest. It's what he said, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't about being closed for business on Sunday or about worshiping on Friday or Saturday or even about plucking grain on the edges of the field. It's about receiving rest. That is the spiritual rest that God wants to give us in his Son Jesus through his word and through his sacraments. Be it on Sunday or Saturday or Thursday or whatever day it is, we receive rest. When we receive Jesus, we find our rest in Jesus when we delight in his word. Be it gathered here with your fellow saints, reading the scriptures at home, or when we find Jesus, we come with our burdened consciences over our failures of the week, and we confess them here, laying them down before him, and he responds with that word of pardon, I forgive you of all your sins in the words of the absolution. We find our rest in Jesus when he gives us his very own body to eat and his very own blood to drink. And he says, do this for the forgiveness of sins. There's your rest. There's your Sabbath. It's Jesus given for you for the forgiveness of sins. And so, dear saints, as you gather here Sunday after Sunday, let me ask you this. What's the point? There's probably more efficient ways to do this in this digital age. Why don't we just do church over the radio or on the internet? Why come here at all? Just stay home, we'll read our Bibles, and we'll save the gas money. But the Lord has it that you would be here so that you would be his guest. His guest to receive rest. Rest by unloading the week's burdens of sin and receiving the promise of the forgiveness of sins. We continue to gather in this place because it's in this place that Christ puts himself sacramentally for you. The Lord of the Sabbath is here that you would have rest that you would have Sabbath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.